Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn. We get the name of this show from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we read the Apostle Paul, who we do believe the Apostle Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews. And starting in verse 18 of chapter 12, we read this: For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as the beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for gathering us together one more time. We don't know how many more times we have, God. We live in perilous times, and we have leaders bringing us in the wrong direction, leading us astray, going forward, but off the edge of a cliff. And we just come before you, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, when you were talking with Moses, and Moses said to you, Who shall I say sent me? And you said, Tell them that I am sent you. And we love that about you, God. You are not the God that was. You're not the God that's going to be. You're the God that is and always was and always will be. But I just love how you refer to yourself as I am, meaning no matter what time period you find yourself in, there you are. You are God. Your word says that you are God, you are God alone, and there are none like you, Lord. And we thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you that you would want to meet with us and to hear our cries and our prayers and our pleas and our petitions and our thanks. And we're just in awe, Father God. We're just in awe that you would even talk to us. And your word says this, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And Heavenly Father, we look forward to that day when we will be like you. We can't even imagine it now in our sinful flesh. Can't even begin to picture it, God. But we thank you for your eternal security of your salvation, God. We thank you for the judgment seat. We thank you that you're giving us time to get things right and get things under the blood and get things fixed and get things in order. and you're long-suffering to us, God. You're just very long-suffering to us, and so we ask you, Father, we ask you to meet with us tonight. We ask you to be with us tonight. We ask you to lead us and guide us, to lead your dear children along. And some of us you'll take through the fire, and some of us you'll take through the flood. Some you'll take through the water, but you're taking us all, God. Everyone must go through the blood. Your word says that it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But God, who is merciful to us and long-suffering to us, and his great love wherewith he loved us while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We thank you for that tonight, God. We're a grateful people tonight. We're grateful, God, that we can cry out to you and we can say, Jesus, hear our cry. Abba, Father, hear our cry. Holy Spirit, hear our cry. And you're just so good to us tonight, God. You really, really are. You're good to us, and that's. It's been a rough week for Bible believers. It's been an even rougher week for conservative Republicans. But Lord, we just need to leave all that junk beside and come and meet with you tonight, God, in spirit and in truth. And just give us something fresh from your word. Take me out of the way, God. Speak through me. Speak through the music and through the prayers and through the preaching and through the Bible teaching. And everything that will be said and done, Lord. Diane just said, change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts. And Lord, that's our prayer tonight, that we would leave better than when we came. And that you would give us something of yourself tonight. So keep us safe, Lord. Keep the devil away and open up your word to us tonight in a new and a fresh and a mighty way, and give us something from your word, Lord, tonight that will change us, not just for now, but for all eternity, Father God. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Shady green pastures, so rich and so free. God leads his children along, where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary child's feet. He leads his children, leads them along. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children, leads them along. Sometimes through the valley, through the darkness of the night, the same God leading those same children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but it always and all the day long. Won't you let him take you through the fire? Let him take you through the flood. Let him take you through the fire. And we all must go through the blood. won't you let him take you through great sorrow? He'll always give you a song. And it's
In the chat room, we have somebody who just asked this question, and it's a great question. Constance asks, have you ever made a decision that you definitely thought God wanted you to make, but then after you made that decision, things weren't going quite as smoothly as you thought they would, and now you have all these new problems because you made that decision? Well, Constance, let me just say yes. I have sat in the seat that you find yourself right now. I have made decisions in my life that seemed oh so good at the time. And in reality, sometimes they worked out, sometimes they didn't work out. But there's a verse in the Bible, Constance, that is custom made for you. And it is custom made for me and for any of us who have made decisions that perhaps after we got to live with the results of those decisions for a while, perhaps we wish that we wouldn't have made those decisions or made smarter, wiser choices or whatever the case may be. But Constance, I want to tell you about a man in the Bible, in the New Testament. And this man wound up being the greatest follower of Jesus Christ in world history. You know him as the Apostle Paul. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul is our example. God holds the Apostle Paul up as our example of how we are to walk after Jesus Christ. We're to walk after the Apostle, after Jesus Christ, the way that the Apostle Paul did. He's our example. But Constance, did you also know that there was a day and time when Paul's name was Saul, and he was the biggest persecutor of the Christian church? He was the biggest persecutor of Jesus Christ. And for fun, he killed Christians. Did you know that? Did you know that the greatest Christian in the entire Bible was a killer of Christians before the Lord gave him a chance to make a new decision? And I want to read for you, Constance, what the Apostle Paul wrote after many, many, many years of being saved and many, many years of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and being up in the third heaven and all that cool stuff. Well, the Apostle Paul, he was forgiven, but he has advice for you tonight, Constance, and he has advice for me, and he has advice for any of us who have made decisions that we wished later on we wished that we didn't make. In the third chapter of the book of Philippians, we read this, starting in verse number 3 of Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul says this, Constance, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, the Apostle Paul says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And why? That I, in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were perfect, no, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. And thou, Constance, I said all that to say this, starting in verse 13. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. The Apostle Paul was constantly working on it. Remember, this is the same guy who said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he says in 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, Constance, what is that one thing the Apostle Paul did? Out of everything he has to say, he says there is one thing that he does. Are you ready for it? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Constance, why did he do that? Because he remembered that he was a Christian killer and that he threw women and children into prisons and he slaughtered their husbands and they did all sorts of nasty things. He worked with the Romans, authorized by the Jews, and the apostle Paul was the Christian killer Saul. But there came a day and time when he realized that after he confessed his sins and he got right and he got saved and he got it under the blood, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul just didn't say, all right, I'm going to forget. No. The Apostle Paul said, I got to get it right first. I got to get it under the blood. I got to ask for forgiveness. I have to make amends. I have to repent. And we're all called to do that when we make silly, stupid decisions that you have made, Constance, and I have made, and Linda and Diane and Rue and Caleb and Jerry and Dave and all of us, Barbara, Donna, we've all made stupid decisions. But after we have confessed our sins and we've got it under the blood, then we can apply the beautiful Philippians 3:13. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What did Paul have to forget? Murder, possibly rape of his victims, torture, separating families, persecuting Jesus Christ, persecuting the church. Don't you think the Apostle Paul had a lot to forget? He sure did. But this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. And after we have confessed our sins, Constance, after we have made amends, after we have gotten things right, God forgets about our sin. And he wants us to forget about it too. And not just to forget about it to say, okay, I don't got to think about that anymore. No. Look at the verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, comma, why? And do what? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. And what are those things which are before him? Eternal life with Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins, repentance, a glorified body that will never grow old, never tire, never get sick, never fade away. Doesn't the Bible say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it come into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him? That's what the Apostle Paul was. He said, I'm reaching forth to those things. And then in verse 14, he says, having done all that, repented, got it right, confessed it, forgot it, reaching forth towards something new that God has for you. And after you've done all that, Constance, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So I hope that answers your question, dear sister, because you know what? It answered. I didn't even have that as a question tonight, and that answered it for me. I mean, that's just, man, God really has something. I mean, I'm glad you asked that question. That's a great way to start off our service this evening, and that's really, really, really good. So, Constance, this song I am dedicating to you, because if you will confess your sin, whatever it may be, and I'm not even saying that you have a particular sin that was attached to your question, but if you have anything that needs to be made right, get it under the blood, plead the shed blood, plead 1 John 1:9, forget, then when you've done that, forget it, and then reach forward to the things that God has for you, forgiveness, redemption, eternal life, eternally secure. And when you do that, I can guarantee you, on the authority of Holy Scripture, it will be well with your soul.
Oh,
grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You know, God's promises that he gives to us, have you ever really just stopped to think? And I mean, there's the New Testament, the Old Testament, the whole Bible is just so saturated with God's promises. The Bible says that when we have grief, when we lose a loved one, when we have an enormous setback, that we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those people who have no hope. We don't sorrow like the lost do, because the Bible says that our conversation is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. And we are to look for what's coming, not for what's here. Because you know what? If I keep my eyes on what's here and what this world has to offer and what I can see in front of me, I would be too depressed to do a radio show. I would be too depressed to do the website. I wouldn't really much care about handing out a gospel tract or preaching on the street or anything like that. If I thought that all there was this, and then you live and you have heartache and you suffer loss, and then you die, and when you die you take nothing with you, and you close your eyes and go where? Nowhere. Darkness, blackness. If that's all there was, there would be no reason to do anything. But this is not all there is. This is just the appetizer on the world's greatest meal, which is coming not in this life, but in the next life. And that's why Titus 2:13 is so important. And, you know, we have shared that verse on this program for a year and a half now. And it's kind of like the charter verse of this program, that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Constance, you're asking a question. You're saying, so God won't forget me and he will help me? Well, absolutely, Constance. You have to make sure that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you have accepted his sacrifice as payment for your sin? If you know that, then you're a child of God. If you're not saved, you're not God's child. You know, the world teaches that we're all God's children, right? But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And God is long-suffering because he wants the unsaved to become saved. But make no mistake, the unsaved person of any religion, of any ethnic background, of male, female, young or old, whatever the case may be, well, children are different, of course, the unsaved person is not a child of God, is not a friend of God. And if the unsaved person dies in their sins, well, they would go straight to hell. You only become God's child when you become born again, because our first birth was no good. It's tainted. We were made after the image of Adam and Eve. We were not made after the image of God. But when we get born again, we get a new DNA. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And Barbara said that Satan loves to attack the believer always making them second guess their salvation. That's right. If you're around a lot of people who are constantly making you question, I mean, it's good to every once in a while, you know, am I saved? You know, the Apostle Paul said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It is good to take a reality check from time to time, but you shouldn't be doubting your salvation. You shouldn't be constantly questioning, because once you have been saved, if you're truly saved, then you and we've shown that on this show so many times, and it makes the Pharisaical Christian world absolutely livid. They could pull their hair out. They could shoot me with a pistol. People, Christians, get so stinking mad when we talk about eternal security. But brothers and sisters, if you are responsible for keeping yourself saved, then you have a gospel of works-based salvation, and you do not have New Testament salvation. If you have New Testament salvation, Jesus Christ did it all. He did it all to earn it. He did it all to produce it. He did it all to present it, and he does it all to preserve it. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for me, and that's what he does for you. Louise says, amen, sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's right, we're sealed, we're sealed, we're sealed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, and after you have believed, you have been sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the day of redemption. And believe me when I tell you, the unsaved world is not going to try to talk you out of your salvation nearly as much as the Pharisaical Christian who believes that their salvation is preserved by the works that they do and the sin that they avoid. And that's not what the Bible teaches for the Christian who is saved in the age of grace. So, Constance, if you know that you're saved, and I saw that you posted that, yes, definitely, absolutely, absolutely, that's what you said, Constance, then, Rue, would you just one more time post 1 John 1:9 for me, please? And I want you to look at this verse, Constance. I want you to look at this verse, and I want you to really think about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what you were unrighteous about. You may have taken the Lord's name in vain. You may have committed a grievous sin. You may have committed grievous thoughts and whatever. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, past, present, and future. Remember, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, you weren't even born yet. So every single one of your sins when Jesus went to the cross was future. Every single one of them. So why wouldn't you think that the future sins that you'll commit from this day going forward, why wouldn't they be covered as well? So, Constance, what I want you to take away from what we're talking about, I want you to, if there's anything between you and the Lord that you have to get right, go get it right. Confess it, repent it, whatever you need to do, just get it right. And then trust in the promise of God where he said, if you confess your sin to him, Constance, he forgives you your sin, cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and then he asks you to forget it. And you know what? That is more than good enough for me. Absolutely, that is more than good enough for me. You know what I want to hear now? We haven't played this song in a while, and I love this song. This is also like a secondary theme song for this program. And it's just a great, great, great song, and it goes perfectly with Titus 2:13, that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. The midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call His children, the dead in Christ shall rise.
Guys, are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, man. Well, we were in church on Wednesday night, you know, and I've talked about my church. I talk about my church all the time on this show. I talk about my preacher, Pastor Peacock, all the time, and you guys pray for him, and I really appreciate that. I tell him that you guys are praying for him, and I show him some of the posts and stuff, and you know, he and his wife are just so appreciative of all the prayers that you guys put up for them, and I am as well. But let me tell you something. Pastor Peacock, there is nobody like him on the face of the earth. I mean, he is just, and if he heard me saying this, he would probably get mad at me because, you know, he probably just would get mad at me. But let me tell you something. You want to hear some Bible preaching the way it was meant to be preached. Pastor Peacock is your man. And we were in church on Wednesday night. You know, the first hour from 6 to 7 is open. It's like a, well, he calls it Stump the Preacher, but it's really just like a Bible question and answer. And it is so amazing. I mean, because there's almost no question. I've been going to that church coming up on 2 years, and I think he's only not had an answer for a question like maybe four times in almost 2 years that I've been there, of constantly being hammered with Bible questions from men, women, and children. I mean, it's just, if you think that's easy, try it sometime. I wouldn't want to step into those shoes. But Linda just said he's an old-time preacher. Yeah, he's a young guy. He's not an old preacher, but he is an old-time preacher. I mean, he preaches that hell is hot and heaven is sweet. And he preaches that we got to put down the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he's right on. Anyway, in church on Wednesday night, we've been going through the book of Revelation. And, you know, the first couple chapters of Revelation, it's, you know, those letters to the seven churches. And they were churches that did exist and will exist in the tribulation. And it's seven ages of the Christian church. And we're the church of Laodicea. And, you know, that stuff is all good. It's interesting. But let me tell you something. The whole thing lights up like a Roman candle when you get to Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2. Because when you get to Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2, that's where the payoff is for me and you. The Apostle John, now, if you recall, the Apostle John, the Bible says, was the apostle that Jesus loved. And what does the Bible say about the church? That Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it so that he might be able to present it as a spotless bride, not having spot or blemish, right? So the Apostle John is a type picture. He represents the New Testament church. And then in Revelation 4, verse 1, John, who is a type of the church, he's sitting there on the island called Patmos. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, John said, now we know Paul gives a little bit more information about that immediately, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the sound of the last trump. John says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, if you can't get excited about that, you just can't get excited, because that's the rapture. Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2, that is the rapture of the New Testament church. And how exciting is that, that's right there in the Bible. And the Apostle John, who represents the church, and he hears those words, come up hither, man. Can you wait for that day? Come up hither, and then we're going to go. And the Apostle Paul says that it is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound, the last trump, and we're going to go up, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Man, that's good stuff. So we were in church on Wednesday night, and we finally got to the part of Revelation where it talked about the rapture. And I'm telling you, our church was like revival. It was absolutely like revival, or maybe it just felt that way to me. But in any case, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And I'm going to post a link in the chat room right now. If you would like to listen to some of Pastor Peacock's sermons, I just put the link into the chat room. Please copy that link, put it into your favorites. New sermons all the time. And I'll put the link into the chat room one more time in about 30 seconds. And please copy that link down. And there's new sermons there twice a week. And you'll absolutely, if you like old-time, old-fashioned, hell-fighting, Jesus-glorifying, sin-hating, devil-fighting preaching, that's absolutely the preaching that you need to get a hold of. So please bookmark that in your favorites, and I guarantee you that you will get a blessing from that. All right, we're going to play one more song, and then when we come back, we're going to pray. And you're not going to want to miss this prayer time. We're going to pray for some things that will blow you away tonight. We are going to go before the Lord and ask the Lord to intercede on some matters that are going to freak you out. All right? So stay with us. Stay with us. And when we come back, we're going to do some real interceding for people who really, really, maybe they don't even know it, but they need us to intercede for them. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do some real serious prayer tonight. And let's see, what song can I put up that would really get us in that mood, really get us focused on the importance of prayer? You know what? I think this is a song. Where is it? Where? Yeah, here it is. Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. don't know about you guys, but that's the type of singing that I like. And that's the type of excited congregation that I like to be a part of. You know, when we're at church and Pastor Peacock is preaching sometimes, and sometimes he says stuff that's so deep that like the church gets quiet because it's like you're trying to keep up with them, you know what I mean? Because it's just such amazing stuff from the Bible. You don't want to make a sound because you don't want to miss anything. But when he starts to plow through ground that you've been through before, and you know what the passage teaches, and you know what the passage talks about, and you've already been there many times before, but he's plowing through it, and he has holy unction, and he's going through it fresh, and we get to shouting in our church sometimes, and I'm telling you, it is good to be in a congregation that gets as excited about the Lord Jesus Christ as people on a Sunday afternoon watching a football game, or people on a Friday night watching a baseball game. And it's good. And you know, if you can't get excited, if you can't get shouting about the Lord Jesus Christ when somebody's preaching about his return, well, I think there's something wrong. Because, you know, if you really get a hold, you really get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you really get a hold of, you know, what his return. I mean, can you picture that day when we leave this earth and it's up through the clouds? Let me just read some of these verses to you before we go into prayer, because they're just beyond awesome. The Bible says this in, where is it? Well, here's one. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at this last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wouldn't you like to be changed? Wouldn't you like to be out of this fleshly body and not be craving things all the time? And I'm not just talking about craving things that are bad for you. I'm talking about craving things that are good for you. I mean, wouldn't you just like to be free from the addiction of life and be able to live it the way God intended us to live it? Wouldn't you like to be able to live like that? Well, we can't as long as we're in this unsaved fleshly body. Because you do know that when you got saved, it was only your soul that got saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your body grows old and it gets sick and the stuff wears out. And you sprout wrinkles, and you lose your hair, and knees ache, and shoulder joints ache, and you slow down, and your eyes grow a little bit dim, and your voice grows weaker. Your body is not saved. But let me tell you something. When that day comes, that day where Paul says, we shall not, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I don't know about you, but I want to be changed. I want to have God do for me that which I can't do for myself. I want to be released from this prison of a fleshly body that craves everything all the time, good stuff, bad stuff, whatever. And as Pastor Peacock is always saying, when you're in heaven, you have the mind of Christ and you have a glorified body. Even the thoughts that are in your head are pure. You never have to check your motives in heaven. You never have to check your thoughts because they're just automatically right, because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and we have a glorified body. And when Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:53 at the end, and we shall all be changed, I'd like to be changed. And I can't wait for that day. Can't wait for that day. All right, we need to go to the Lord in prayer right now, and we need to ask his blessing on a number of items. A lot of people have been sending me prayer requests, and we're going to pray for people. I have a prayer request, and I want to pray for my prayer request first, not because I think it's so important, but because I don't want you to think that I'm saving it for last, like I think it's some big prayer or anything. So I just want to get mine out of the way first and then deal with the important prayers, because we have a need tonight. We have a very, very, very serious spiritual need from the Lord tonight. And I'd like to pray for the Now the End Begins ministry. It is growing faster than I ever imagined that it would grow. And I can still remember. Now, the whole ministry isn't even 3 years old yet. It's not going to be three until about December 14th. And I can remember I was so excited when I got 1 million hits in 1 month. And then I was excited when I got 1 million hits in 1 week. But now I'm getting 2 and 3 million hits per day. And I'm not saying this to brag about it. I'm not about the numbers. But the reason why that I mention it to you guys is that this ministry is growing unbelievably fast. And I need wisdom from the Lord to know the right decisions to make, the things to do, the things not to do. I need the Lord to continue to provide for this ministry and sustain this ministry, to give me the ability to do, you know, I work on it about 10 hours a day. 10 hours per day I work on Now the End Begins, whether it's the radio show or whether it's the website and answering emails and writing posts and doing articles, whatever the case may be. So if we could just pray for the ministry and just ask for the Lord's blessing and continued wisdom. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We come before you, Lord, and we are all connected tonight by this radio show, God, which you have provided. And we are connected by the website and by the Facebook page and all the stuff that this ministry touches, God. And for whatever crazy reason, you've given this thing to me, and it's, Lord, it's growing bigger now than I can handle by myself. And I'm not saying that out of a sense of false humility. I'm saying it from a very practical perspective. This ministry, God, is growing bigger than just I can do it. You know, we're getting close to 25 million hits per month now, and it's just, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. So, Father God, I ask, and we're all in agreement together, Lord, we pray for the ministry of Now the End Begins. Sustain it. Keep it safe from the attacks of the enemy. Bring in the resources that we need. Bring in the finances that we need. Bring in the people that we need. Give me wisdom, Lord, to know who to bring in and who to push away or whatever the case may be. Give me wisdom. When you made Solomon king, and you went to King Solomon, and you appeared to him in a dream, and you said to him, "What would you have me to do for you?" King Solomon said, "Give me wisdom that I might rightly judge among thy people." And what did you say to Solomon, God? You said, "Because you asked for wisdom and not for long life and not for riches, I'm going to give you all three of those things." And Lord, we need your wisdom. We are a church family here, God. This is unconventional church. There's no building. But the church never was the building. It was always about the people. It was always about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we meet three times a week, just like a real church does. So, Father God, I ask you that you, as this ministry grows, and it's really getting to be obvious that I need other people to help me with this ministry. not to be attached to somebody else's ministry, but to have people come in and help me with mine. So, Lord, we ask that even now you would be working in the hearts and minds of people, and putting on their hearts and minds perhaps to help out in whatever way that they can help out, being involved, reposting articles, contributing, donating, whatever the case may be, God, I'll leave all that in your hands. But Lord, this ministry, I thank you. This was just a dream that you gave me 3 years ago, and now it is in the top 10 of any Bible prophecy website in the world. And Lord, I'm just shocked, and I'm amazed, and I'm humbled, and I'm in awe. And we ask as a church family that you would just continue to give us wisdom, give us guidance, lead us, give us protection, give us provision, and help us, God. And we ask that, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I received a prayer request from the Now the End Begins Facebook page, and let me just go there for a second. And this prayer request was very heartfelt, and I want to read it to you right now. It's from a man by the name, well, we'll just call him Brother James B. And Brother James posted a prayer request, and he said, "Could you all pray for my son? He is in the military, and his wife wants to leave him, and he is brokenhearted." So Brother James has a son, and his wife wants a divorce while he's serving in the military. And I can't even begin to imagine how unsettling that would be, how distressing that would be. You're risking your life on the battlefield, and your wife, who's supposed to be a pillar, a Proverbs 31 woman, and she's leaving. She wants out. Now, we don't know any of the details and any of the circumstances, but we do know that God is the God who restores. He is the God of healing. He is the God of restoration. And we know that God hates divorce. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother James's son. I don't even think that he left his name. Let me look. I think it's just he asked for prayer for his son. Yep, he didn't even mention his name. But we ask for mercy on the marriage of Brother James' son and his daughter-in-law. Father God, we don't know the reasons why she wants out, but we ask that you work in her heart and mind. If she's not saved, save her. If anyone involved in this situation is not saved, we don't know. Please save them. And we ask you, Lord, that you rebuke the enemy for your own sake so that you get the glory, Lord, for this restored marriage. And we pray and we believe in faith that you are a miracle-working God, that you can restore, that you will restore. Please, Father God, do a mighty work in Brother James's son and daughter-in-law's life. Save this marriage. Get them back on the right track. Get them back in church if they're not in church. Get them back in the book if they're not in the book. Get them back in prayer if they're not in prayer. And please help them, Father God. Be with the family. Give them peace. Restore their marriage, as Donna says. And we ask it, Father. We ask it absolutely in Jesus' name. And Brother James, when you listen to this show, you might be listening to it now. You might be listening to it in the archives. But we thank you for that prayer request. We thank you for trusting us with that. And many here will be continuing to pray for you and for your son and for your daughter-in-law, that marriage will not end up in divorce, that there will be restoration and a healing. And we ask it, God, in Jesus' name, amen. We have a prayer request from Deidre. She is a fellow NTEB prayer warrior, and she says, NTEV family, please keep me in your prayers for my eye surgery November 14th and the right eye surgery on November 21st. Thank you. I'm a little scared. Well, absolutely. I would be scared too. I had laser surgery on both my eyes 7 years ago and great results, but it was terrifying to go under that and have your corneas removed. And I'm sure that your surgery is more complicated than mine was, but it can be fear provoking. So Lord, we lift up Deidre before you. We ask you to give the surgeons, when they perform the surgery on the 14th and the 21st of this month, we ask you that you give them a steady hand and give them wisdom to know where to cut and where not to cut. And if there's an anesthesiologist involved, that the right amounts and the mixtures will be given. Keep Dee strong. Keep her heart and her body and her mind and her lungs strong and her eyes strong, Lord. And just guide her through this operation. The song that we sang before, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And that's just about you taking us through trials and temptations to build our faith. And we ask you, God, that you use this to build Dee's faith, heal her eyes, make her eyes whole again, and let her be a witness to the doctors and to the nurses. Maybe she could hand out a few tracts, whatever the case may be. But, Lord, we just ask that this all be done for her good and for your glory, that you would definitely get the glory from this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Another prayer from a prayer warrior, Sandra Street. She says, I have an urgent prayer request. And she said here, my husband's brother, Herbert, and his wife, Lacey, have four children. They are living in a campground in a mobile home, and he cannot work because he's waiting for disability to come through. They don't have enough of an income. This past Sunday, he got attacked from a man who kicked in his door, and he was attacked on the campground. And it's just the whole thing is a mess. And then it says here that they have to live near this guy who did the attacking. The police investigated. They arrested the wrong man. The family is currently staying with a friend and doesn't know exactly where to go. So she said, please, everyone, lift up my brother-in-law and his family in prayer. My brother-in-law has been trying to do God's will with his life. For 4 years, he has had a continued stream of bad things go wrong. Lord, we lift up Herbert Street and his wife Lacey and their four children. And we ask you, Lord, to reach deep into their circumstances and help them. Heal what needs to be healed. Forgive what needs to be forgiven. Help Herbert and Lacey, Lord, as the heads of their family. He's the head of the family. But there's children involved, and they need protection, Lord, and they need provision. They need something from you, and we ask you, God, that you would give it to them. Bless them abundantly, as Linda says. Bring them abundant blessing, Lord. Heal them and protect them. Chris says, deal with them, Lord. And we're all in agreement. Constance says, praying for them. How horrible. We are all in one accord. We are praying tonight for the Street family, Herbert and Lacey and the four children. And Lord, please do a mighty, mighty, mighty work there that you would get the glory and that they would get what they need from you, God. And we just ask you to give them whatever it is that they need. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me see if there are any more prayer requests in the prayer room. Raylene asked for prayer for her nephew, Robert, who is on his way to the hurricane disaster areas as the disaster assessor. And so please keep him safe as they travel and to do what they're trained to do. So, Lord, be with Robert Miller and give him wisdom and give him safe passage and give him safe travel, Lord. And he's going to the land where I was born, New Jersey. And my own family has been greatly affected by the hurricane. There are members in my own family that have been displaced. And so as Robert goes to minister to those people, keep him safe, Lord. Keep him strong. Let him reach some people for you, God. and show him how he can best minister to these people who have been so unbelievably devastated by this hurricane. And Lord, it's a good work that he's doing, and we ask you to sanctify it and to dip it in the blood so it's not just a humanitarian work, that it would be a work that would last for all eternity, Father God. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I think that's great, Ray, that your nephew is going to go and do that, Robert Miller. You know, Ray, the more that I hear about your family and your kids and your grandkids and the kids' fathers and all that stuff, I just want to say that now I haven't met any of you guys, but I feel like I have. And you have an awesome family, Ray. You really do. You, I mean, the Lord has blessed you with some great kids and Dawn and just all the children that you have and the children that they have. And I've seen the pictures. And Ray, the Lord has blessed you in things, in the riches of heaven. And by his tabulations, you're a very wealthy woman. And you are rich in the things of this world that matter, not the things that the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasure where thieves can break in and steal and moth and rust do corrupt, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot break through and steal and thieves, moth and rust cannot corrupt, and thieves cannot break in and steal. And Raylene, the Lord has given you amazing riches in the things that he counts as riches. So I just want to thank you, Ray, for your continued friendship and all that you do for Now the End Begins and have always done for Now the End Begins. And you know, your great family, and you guys are a blessing. And we will be praying for Robert. Now, this last prayer, this is the prayer that is difficult to pray. And it's not difficult intellectually, but it's just difficult because it requires a certain sensitivity and it requires a certain finesse, which I may or may not possess. I don't know. We'll find out. But however this prayer request comes out, just know that my heart is right. And you know, the Lord has put on my heart to pray tonight for John McTernan, to pray for Don Schwartz, to pray for Dave and Willie Hauser, and to pray for Fred, Brother Fred. And John McTernan, as most of you know, used to be connected with his show. Now he does his own show. And we hear some things that are coming out from that side of the fence. And some of those things don't look good. They just, and we don't need to go into what those things are. And if you guys go and visit his Facebook page, a lot of you have reported back to me some of the things that you've seen and read and heard. But I just want to pray tonight that the Lord give Brother John the wisdom that he needs to minister properly, to minister from the book properly. And I don't think I can put it any better than that. But I think we just need to pray for John McTernan and his ministry, that the Lord would deal with whatever needs to be dealt there. And I think we can just let it go at that. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and even though that we no longer minister with Brother John, he's still our Christian brother, and he has his own ministry now and his own radio show, and we wish him well on that show. And at the same time, God, we we just ask that if there's anything over on that side of the fence that needs to be straightened out, and anything over on that side of the fence that that needs to be corrected, we ask, Lord, just like we ask for ourselves. We ask all the time that you correct us. We ask all the time that you keep us on the straight and narrow path. We ask all the time that you make sure that we're only teaching right things from your book. And if we start to stray off, which people can do, no one is immune to straying off, nobody. And so we pray the same thing for John and his ministry. We pray, God, that you would that you would just work over there and straighten out anything that needs to be straightened out, and to bless them according to their labors, Lord. And we ask you just to do whatever needs to be done over there. And Lord, Louise just said, praying in agreement, restore them back to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that, and maybe our paths will never again cross. From a ministerial perspective, maybe we'll never again be co-laborers for you, Lord. And that's fine, and that's fine. You're certainly taking care of all our needs, and we pray that you take care of all their needs as well. And Lord, I don't want pride to be a sin in my life, and I don't ever want to be in a position where I can't pray for anybody who needs prayer, whoever that person may be. And Lord, we all just humbly come before you, and we all just ask for your blessing. So please be with Brother John and his team and his crew. We wish them well. And Lord, just do whatever needs to be done over there. And we ask it, Father God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, Channel Chat just said, how can we pray in agreement when we don't know what you're talking about? Well, we can pray in agreement. We don't need to know the details. Have you ever had somebody who came up to you and said, could you please pray for an unspoken request, right? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had somebody say, I can't tell you what it is, but please pray for me? Well, you don't need to know what the details are to pray for somebody. You just need to know that we need to intercede for the Lord. And you know, the Bible says that our strongest prayer sometimes is not even made by us. The Holy Spirit makes it through us, and the Bible says with groanings which can't even be uttered, right? I mean, isn't that what the Bible says, with groanings that cannot be uttered? Well, so we just pray for Brother John and his team and his crew, and that the Lord would just do in their ministry whatever needs to be done so that it is pleasing to the Lord. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're almost at the end of our time for this evening, and I just want to close with this thought. We still got another 10 minutes, so don't start clicking off yet. We still got 10 more minutes, but we went through a very emotional roller coaster ride this week with the elections. And strange things have been happening since the election on Tuesday. Strange things have been happening in this country. And we believe that the Lord's judgment is on America now. And we believe that this president, which America has elected to be their king, we believe he's very bad for America. And this could very well be the waning days of our republic. And for those of you who haven't read this story yet, the Lord wrote a story through me called Obama is the King God Has Given to Reign Over America in the Last Days. And I just put the link in the chat room, and I want you guys all to read that story when you get a chance. It is going viral. It's been shared almost 3,000 times in less than 24 hours, and it's around the world many times over now. And I believe that we are in the last days, and I do not think America will come out of this free fall that she's in. Not that she can't, but because, well, the Bible says, now is their hour and the power of darkness. And we all knew that this day was coming sometime, right? We all knew that eventually the forces of evil would overtake America. America, as much as we like to think, as much as we like to think that America is like Israel before God, America is not like Israel before God. America does not have a covenant relationship with God. And you know, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, and Rue, could you please post that verse which says, and if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then shall I hear from heaven. Could you, I think it's 2 Chronicles 7, 14, if you would post that, Rue. That verse doesn't really apply to America, because America is not called by the name of God. God at no point entered into a covenant relationship with America. So we cannot really apply 2 Chronicles 7:14 to America. It just doesn't work. I mean, spiritually you can, and the idea is right, but we are not in a covenant relationship with God. God has no obligation to save this country. Here's that verse, Rue, thank you so much. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The reason why that verse ultimately doesn't work for America is because this was to the Jews in Israel. We are not spiritual Jews. America is not the spiritual Israel. And God is under no obligation. God is under no obligation to save America. Do you realize that? God is under no obligation to save America. But God will work in the hearts and the minds of individuals who are seeking his face, who want what he has. So, Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, God, for not so much for the country of America, but we pray for the Americans who are trapped in this system, who need to be saved before it's too late. That's what we pray for tonight, God. We pray that you would save the people of America. Now, the vast majority of the people in this country voted for a king who is against you, God. And we ask you, just like Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. We ask you tonight, God, to forgive the people who voted to reelect a baby killer. Forgive the people who voted to reelect a man who stands for everything that you're against, God. We ask you to forgive them. We ask you to get them back on the right track, to wake them up out of their spiritual deadness, save them if they're lost, bring them home if they're a prodigal. We pray tonight, Lord, not for lost America, but we pray tonight, Lord, for the lost Americans who need to be right with you. And Lord, we need to focus less on politics and less on who's running this country and more on your book and more on what you would have us to do. Use this ministry, Now the End Begins, and these radio shows and these church services and these Bible studies and prayer times that we do. Lord, these shows are in an archive forever. People can listen to them at any time, anywhere in the world. And we pray, God, that they would hear the words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we ask, Lord, that your word go forth in spirit and in truth and in power. And please, Lord, save the lost, rescue the perishing, bring home the prodigal brother, bring home the prodigal sister, and get them back in the fold, Father God. Rob just said, we believe. Dave just said, Jesus is God. Rue said, I see and hear so much anti-Semitism, it makes me so sad. Donna says, we want to see souls saved. Dana says, please pray for us who get so mad at them. Lord, we come in one consent with one heart. We pray for your people, Israel. We pray for the Jews who are still your chosen people, God. We don't replace the Jews. And when the age of grace is done and you take us home, you're once again going to turn your attention back to the Jew. And you're going to, the Bible says, and so all there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. And so all Israel shall be saved. And this is my covenant that I shall make with them in those days when I take away their sins. And we pray, God, for the Jewish people, and not just for the Jewish people who are messianic believers. No, 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 no. Lord, we pray for the Jewish people who hate our guts. We pray for the Jewish people who despise Christians. We pray for the Jewish people who don't want our prayers because they don't know it, but they need our prayers. And we pray for Israel, Lord. That's your promised land. America is not the spiritual Israel. We don't pray for the spiritual Israel. We don't pray for the spiritual Jews. We pray for the real Israel, the place that you can get on a plane and go and visit, because that's where you're going to come back very soon, Lord, with all of us. You're going to come back to the real Israel. And we pray for the real Jews, not these fictitious spiritual Jews, but the flesh and blood Jews who are found all over the world and found in Israel today. Let us be a blessing to them, Father God, and let us minister to them, even though we know that they don't want us to minister to them. But let us do unto them as you would have us do unto them. And in Genesis 12:3, you're talking to Abraham, and you told him, Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Chris said, we ask and pray for peace in Jerusalem. Whatsoever things are true, honest, and just, and pure, and lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Thank you, Dana, for posting that. Thank you, Father God, for tonight's show. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please join us on Sunday night, where we're going to have an amazing show, an amazing lineup for you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight and for praying with us and spending time. Have a great weekend. Please pray for us. We're going to be street preaching tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Pray for our efforts. Keep us safe and give us provision. And we'll see you all here Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. Good night.